This week, I had to fly to Phoenix, Arizona, and then drive for work, drive from there to this little town called Parker, Arizona. It was about 3 hours between Phoenix and California. When I say desert, I mean Roadrunner Coyote Desert. Tall cactuses, the cliffs, the mesas, the sand. I knew I was going to see an Acme boomerang with a couple sticks of dynamite taped to it. It was that kind of Roadrunner Desert. And for old boy that's used to pine trees and oak trees and grass, it was an adjustment. Their humidity, one of the dangerous things about the Southwest is you literally don't sweat. The humidity's so low, as soon as it comes off, it evaporates. It's that dry. So I'm driving along, and it was almost 200 miles. I'd come to a bridge, and it'd say such and such river, like a Spanish or a Native American name. I look over, dry riverbed. Nothing there. And I guess the rivers and streams are all seasonal. They come up in the winter and early spring. After about 2 hours into the drive, I had a drop of water hit my windshield. And me being the positive person I am, thought, oh, God, my radiator hose is busted. My rental car is breaking down. I probably don't have a bit of cell phone reception. This is going to turn into one of those horror movies. Anyone that's ever seen The Hills Have Eyes, you know where this is leading. And that is, and then another drop. And there wasn't anybody in front of me, like, spraying their windshield wiper thingy, so I knew that wasn't it. It began to rain in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, which is very rare. When it does rain, there is a tendency for it to have flash floods. Thankfully, that didn't happen. It rained for about 15 or 20 minutes. And as I kept driving, I had went to areas where, because I was going this way, the storm was coming this way. And I was blessed to see something I had never seen before outside of a documentary. That green started popping up in this place where it was brown and dusty, lifeless. Bits of green started popping up. It was just amazing. And that imagery stuck with me the entire week I was out there of this just coming alive where there had been nothing. And as I prayed about the message to talk to you about this morning, that image of life just kept popping up in my head. And I just couldn't shake it. And the experience in the desert reminded me of the scripture we're going to look at this morning. To give you a background, we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel was getting a vision. And Ezekiel, to give you some background on him, what we know about him comes from the family, from the book that has his name. Ezekiel is a big prophetic book. As far as prophecy, there's as much prophecy in the book of Ezekiel as there is in the book of Revelation. This was one of those visions that God gave Ezekiel. He was born into a family of priests, and before Jerusalem was conquered, he was part of the priestly network. He actually served in the Temple of Solomon. When Jerusalem was sacked and the kingdom of Judah was conquered in almost 600 years before Jesus was born, he was among those that were taken from Babylon. The Babylonians chose to take the leaders, the artisans, the craftsmen, anyone that had value to them, and take them away to Babylon. Ezekiel was among those. And they were taken to this foreign land, foreign gods, and the situation was so hopeless that a common Jewish saying during that time was, our bodies are dried up and our hope is lost, and we're cut off completely. They didn't know if they'd ever see their homeland again. Their children were getting married, they were marrying foreigners, and they were wondering why God had forsaken them. They were wondering, can these dried up bones ever live again? the imagery, a valley full of bones that Ezekiel has shown. How many of us have valleys of dry bones? How many have or have had those things in our lives that they're lifeless? We don't think anything can ever bring them back to life again. It seems so final, some of these situations that we have. A divorce, death of a loved one, debilitating illness, a surgery or sickness that just lingers, loss of your job. And some people might be a little surprised at that one, but how many of us, when we're asked what we are, what we do, how many of us, if we look, if we had to describe ourselves in the first top five lines, would put, what do we do for a living? I do. And that loss of job can equal a loss of identity, because so much is tied in with it. And it can be life-changing. It can be a very hard struggle that you seem like you just can't come out of. Addictions. It seems like there's no end to you. Times and places in our lives where we ask ourselves, will I ever be normal again? Will my life ever be the same? When we look at the imagery of verse 1, how many of us can relate our life situations to that imagery? A valley with human bones scattered through it, lifeless, containing nothing. Verse 2, Ezekiel was told by God to pass back and forth through them. Can you imagine standing in the middle of a field where it appeared like a battle had been? So many people died, you couldn't even bury them. It was too much. And God led Ezekiel back and forth. There was more than the fact that they were dead. These bodies were also disgraced. In Israelite customs that had gone back from when God gave Moses the laws to live, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, there were customs about burying people. The Babylonians, the Mesopotamians, all of them, all the Near Eastern people had this belief that you need to bury someone. You need to put them in a tomb. If not, it was a sign of disgrace. These bones were denied a proper burial. As an Israelite and a priest, Ezekiel knew what the significance of that was. Dry bones are not only dead, they've been dead for a long time. Bones are what remain when life has passed. If something's never had a life, there wouldn't be any bones. But when something normally has been dead for so long, there's only bones left. Normally we give up any type of hope that will ever live again. This is what Ezekiel was passing back and forth through. A valley filled with bones. And you also have to remember, Ezekiel survived the battle for Jerusalem. He had probably seen battlefields with soldiers strewn across it. The Israelite army was basically destroyed. The Babylonians were the most efficient war machine that had ever come along at that time. God wanted Ezekiel to take it all in, to take in all the devastation, the vastness of the problem before him. That may seem kind of cruel, but why do you think God led Ezekiel in looking at the entire situation? When we look at our own valley of dry bones, it can be really tough to walk through it and look at the entire situation, because it forces us to take a look and see, how did what we do get us to this point? Sometimes there are sicknesses and things that we don't have any control over. But many times, we come to our valley of bones by our actions or inactions. The Israelites were in Babylon because they rejected God. They worshiped false idols. They rebelled against him and openly sinned. God's got Ezekiel looking at this situation honestly. That can be very tough. What's the reality that we're in our valley? What do we need to deal with? What are our strengths and our weaknesses? And that can be really tough. Let me get you a peppermint to unravel. What resources do we have at our disposal when we're looking at our valley? It can be real easy to kind of shift our problems to other people or other things. When you stand back and you look at your entire situation, it's uncomfortable. A lot of times it's uncomfortable. There are times people even need to help write this down to organize their thoughts because the problem can be so massive. In verse 3, Ezekiel is asked by God, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel honestly didn't know the answer. "Lord, you only know." He had no hopes in the bones, but Ezekiel had hope in God. He had hope in God. He didn't presume to know what God wanted to do with these bones, but he was confident that God did have a solution. God did know. There are times when we're like Ezekiel, we're faced with devastation and doubt. We see an onslaught. We come across a situation where there's been no life. There's no breath, no spirit. There hadn't been for a long time. Whether it's a family member, whether it is a stranger that you're entrusted with, whether it's a patient you're first meeting, whether it's a friend that comes forth with something that they've had to deal with, family member. We come across these situations and we don't know what we can do, but we know somebody that can. We know God knows what to do with this. Ezekiel told God, "I want you to preach over these bones." I mean, God told Ezekiel, "I want you to preach over these bones. I'm going to bring them back to life." This was a work of revival. Restoring a life to something that at one time had life. Many times our valleys of the bones had life to them. A relationship. A person that was before an addiction. A person that had an identity with their job. A person that was pre-illness. They had life to them, but that life had been sucked away by whatever means. This one, the creation of life from nothing at all, it was the restoration of life from something that was dead. Restoration has a beautiful sound to it. This was God's declaration. The bones can never create life within themselves. But as Ezekiel began to preach and prophesize, he prophesied with the word of God. The word of God has power. And if you look at our situations that we're in, we can't straighten them out on our own. The life could be marked by breath. Living once again in these bones. The Hebrew word for breath is ruach. It's a double word. It also means spirit. So at the same time God was breathing life into these bones, he was breathing the Holy Spirit into them as well. In their restoration. It was a granting of life-giving breath, but God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. God told Ezekiel to do something just as probably God's telling you to do something facing your own dry valley. whatever it is, you can't be a spectator. If you're coming to God and you have a situation that you know you can't fix, it is a dead situation. It is beyond your control to fix. And you come to God, do not be surprised if He's telling you to do something. Many times God gets us involved. See His glory. Become closer in our relationship with Jesus. Build our faith. It was uncomfortable for Ezekiel to talk over a pile of bones, but he did it. It may be tough for us to do what God asks us to do in our own valley, but it's essential as He does what He does. This isn't just a restoration story. This is a story of God bringing life to where there's no life anymore. Isn't that the way with us? Before we come into Jesus, aren't we dead? We're spiritually dead. Without Jesus coming into our lives, we're dead. When we're in the Spirit and the Spirit's in us, what seems impossible suddenly becomes possible. But the energy and force that sees us through difficulties that Satan and the world throw at us. Ezekiel did as he was commanded, and God began to work. There was a rattling. Some of you heard the songs about the dry bones come alive. It's a reference to this. After the bones were assembled, muscle and tissue came on the bones. They were full of activity, but still didn't have any life in them. When God has helped us in our situations, how many times has it happened all at once, or has it happened in steps? The bones are assembled. God's working inside of us, making the miracle take shape. The muscles, the sinews, they're added to the bones to give this restoration movement. But no one really sees what's going on yet. Skin comes upon the tissues and the bones. You start having a change inside. Then God, as He begins to work in you, people begin to see. They begin to notice a difference in you. And then finally, the Holy Spirit is breathed in you. And your bones have life again. When Ezekiel cries out in verses 9 and 10 for the four winds to breathe life into these bodies, he's praying. I didn't realize that. I started looking through commentaries and they all said the same thing. He's praying. So many times our messages come back to prayer. Out of all this, he preached. But that was only part of it. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous theologian. He made commentaries on the entire Bible. He wrote, "The preaching has its share in the work, but it's the praying that achieves the results. For after he had prophesied to the four winds and not before, the bones began to live." Prayer. There's no hope in humanity, in man, us without God. We're spiritually dead without Jesus, but the dry bones of our situations can live again. They can come back to life just like the desert after a rain and come forth with green where it's been gone for so long. People can love again. People can be restored. Matter of fact, in many ways, they're better than they were before their desert. that person that lost their job and lost their identity, they can become refined and tougher than they were before and given a sense of purpose. The people who have been hurt by a divorce, by a loss of a relationship, they wander through their dry bones, through those valleys. And then when God restores them, He restores them to someone that is so natural, it seems like it's always been that way. That's a special kind of love and restoration. By the Word, by our prayer, by the Spirit of God, in our relationship with Jesus, men can be reborn. People can be reborn. There is hope in a valley of dry bones that can come alive again with the praise of God. There is hope in our own personal valley of bones. They can be healed from their separations and united under one King. Verse 11, God told Ezekiel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's very significant. And again, we look into the background of Israel. After King Solomon's son, King Solomon died 900 years before Christ. He had a son who was a knucklehead, Rehoboam, caused the kingdom of Israel to split in half. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. They became immense rivals. The upper half was conquered by the Assyrians 200 years before Israel. The bottom half was conquered. The bottom half helped the bad guys conquer the top half. There were some issues. They were just clashing. Ezekiel might have thought God was just talking about just the bottom half, but God had a grander purpose. Many times when He works in our dry bones, and you see it, in hindsight, isn't it more than what you thought it was going to be? And it's the same thing here. God was showing Ezekiel this to show him that all of Israel would be restored one day. In this case, it took 2,600 years. But the house of Israel was restored in 1948. God didn't give up on them. One of the ways it was restored was through these promises and people that kept living for them. That dry bones come alive again. Our only hope, just like these people, their only hope was for life and restoration was in God. God was planning on giving this entire nation new life. Many times, as we face our own desert, those people around us are including God's plans, but we don't realize it at the time, to be restored. God is helping one, but He's helping more than one in this restoration. God showed Ezekiel a vision of bones that were scattered throughout the valley. It was a sign of disgrace according to the Israelite custom. Now in these final verses, God talks about opening up graves, restoring them. The disgrace is gone. He purposely went from a vision of dry bones scattered to people in graves to remove the shame, remove the disgrace from them. All a step towards their restoration, a step towards redemption and renewal. The breath that brought about those bones, more than just breathing, is the Spirit of God. As we face our own valleys, that Spirit of God is breathed in our own situations. Some things we need to recognize and believe if we want a miracle in our own valley of dry bones. We must know that the bones are dead and dry. Acknowledge our problems. Acknowledge our problems. Acknowledge that we have an issue. We must walk among the dead. What that means, honestly take ownership of our problems. Did I get here because of somebody else or this or that? No, I got here because I made bad choices. I got myself in this mess. That's not always the case. We don't get sick on purpose. We don't get cancer on purpose. We don't get laid off. But there are times, if we do have an ownership in it, we need to take it. We must speak God's word. God's word has power. Knowledge of that makes us stronger. Now, I've said before, I don't care what kind of version you use, as long as it's kind you understand. New Living, King James, New King James, it doesn't matter. Understand what's in it. There's power in it. We have to have confidence in that. We can speak it, but if we ain't got confidence in it, some kind of faith, they're just words. We must understand that the Holy Spirit works in processes. Many times it steps. And it can be frustrating when you want to be restored, when you want this to end, when you want this to just be over, that many times it's not like that. It begins in steps. But don't lose sight. You're hearing those bones rattle. Then they're going to be assembled. Something's happening in your life. We must recognize that the work of the Holy Spirit is essential. There's no renewal without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit equals the breath of new life. We must boldly pray. Pray for the Spirit to work in our lives. Faith. Hard to get, easy to lose. Ezekiel had the faith to know he didn't know the answer, but knew that God did. Ezekiel obeyed God and did what he was told. We must be willing to work. We must be willing to work if we want to reclaim this lifeless piece of real estate, these lifeless bones, and we come to God to help us with this situation that we can't straighten out ourselves. We need to be willing to do what he tells us to do. Long ago, another prophet spoke. Isaiah said in Isaiah 54:17, there's no weapon forged against you that will prevail, and you'll refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Dry bones can live, and what seems impossible is possible. Through working with God, following God's word, talking to God honestly, and trusting in God's Spirit. If I can get everybody to stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and the altars will be open, the music will be playing. If you were led to come up here and pray, please come up here and pray. I will pray with you. If you have not ever declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I will pray with you. If you have backslid, I will pray with you. We all have. If you are concerned about someone that right now, if they died, you're concerned about where they would go, lift them up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we spoke of the miracle, the vision of the dead coming alive. Father, we know that we have dead in our lives. We have our own valleys of bones that cannot come to life without you. Father, we invite you into these valleys. We invite you to work in our lives. And Father, give us the ears to hear. Give us the mouths to talk to you and the wisdom to admit and the heart to admit that we need your help. Father, just as Ezekiel saw these bones come to life, Father, let us see the deserts in our lives come to life. Help us to see the restoration of those things that were long gone, those dead spots bloom again. Father, help us to carry your words outside of these walls into this dry, barren world, Father, that is so dark. Help us to be lights in this darkness. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.